An experimental crowd control weapon originally designed for military use in Afghanistan and Iraq is now slated for domestic use. The weapon is known by various names, including the Assault Intervention Device, the Active Denial System, the Silent Guardian, and unofficially, the Pain Ray. The device uses concentrated beams of electromagnetic radiation to produce pain and burning sensations in its targets. Although the device is non-lethal officially and does not produce permanent injury, a miscalibration of power settings during Air Force testing caused 5 airmen to suffer lasting burns, including one whose injuries were severe enough to warrant an airlift to an off-base burn treatment center. The system was deployed to Afghanistan briefly this summer, but was removed from service without being used operationally. The defense contractor Raytheon Missile Systems has developed a scaled-down version of the heat ray device specifically for LA County's Sheriff's Department, which plans to install it in the Los Angeles County jails before Labor Day. Working with the Department of Justice, the LA Sheriff's Department will have a 6-month trial of the device at Pitches Detention Center in Castaic, California, before deciding to install it in other jails. The American Civil Liberties Union and the ACLU of Southern California are concerned that the device could cause permanent injury and that its use is, quote, tantamount to torture. They sent a letter criticizing the decision to Sheriff Lee Baca last Thursday. The ACLU has extensively documented LA County Jail's history of overcrowding, deputy violence, retaliation, and abuse against inmates and prisoner-on-prisoner assaults. It is the largest and most expensive jail system in the nation. More than half of those housed have yet to be convicted and are awaiting trial. My guest is Margaret Winter, Associate Director of the National ACLU Prison Project in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Uprising, Margaret.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, I wanted to quote Peter Eliasberg from the ACLU of Southern California. He's with the Jails Project. He says that this is a weapon that can cause serious injury that is being put into a place where there is a long history of abuse of prisoners. That's a toxic combination. First, let's talk about the weapon itself before we talk about its use in Southern California jails. What does it mean that that a scaled-down version of the heat ray device has been made for the sheriff's department? Is this a slightly less painful pain ray?
No, I don't think there's any evidence that it's less painful. It's usable in a, it's portable, basically. It's a 7.5-foot tall robotic machine.
So it's scaled down only in size?
It's portable. It's scaled down only in size. And a report by a noted physicist in 2008, Dr. Jürgen Altman, analyzed the extreme damage that this machine is capable of inflicting. When they demonstrated, it all looks very nice because an individual volunteer who had demonstrated on will simply move out of the path of the microwave beam, which literally microwaves the skin. The trouble is that it's completely dependent, as Dr. Altman points out in his report, on there not being any abuse on the part of the operator of the machine. If it is re-triggered on the same target, or if the blast of the beam goes on for more than a couple of seconds, then you're looking at inflicting second and third degree burns.
So in a way, it's like a taser, something that's supposed to not be lethal, but if misused, if the person who's holding the taser decides to use it as a torture device, they can do so.
Exactly. There are also problems, you know, just technological problems with miscalibrating it, which is how the two airmen got seriously injured during the testing of it. So it's perfectly capable of being used as a lethal weapon in the hands of somebody who wishes to abuse it. And we've seen with tasers how many tragic deaths have resulted from misuse of the taser.
So this particular weapon, which was initially slated to be used in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan by the military, produced by Raytheon Missile Systems, essentially cooks you? I mean, it's a microwave?
Yeah, it's a microwave beam, Sonali, and
I couldn't think of any other way to say it. I mean, it's just.
And kind of the horror of this is that it's we're talking here about a deliberate infliction of pain and a way excessive use of force to control prisoners when the means of controlling prisoners and maintaining security in a prison are well known and don't require this kind of overkill, if I may use that phrase. It seems to us that this is a the you this kind of use, it's just laying open the situation for predictable violations of the Eighth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and the Due Process Clause. We're talking here about the unnecessary infliction of pain and the excessive use of force to attain what could be attained by other means. So it's a very, very scary situation here.
And I'm assuming that there hasn't been enough testing done on this to find out about long-term effects. I mean, what about causing things like cancer by using such kinds of devices?
That I don't know, but I do know that we don't even have to look at the long-term effects to know that it's a scary thing because the short-term effects are
Scary enough,
immediate
yeah.
and potentially catastrophic. And the situation seems to be that the U.S. government is interested in using prisoners as guinea pigs to test this out domestically as part of the whole Homeland Security operation. You know, as a method of crowd control, as a method of controlling First Amendment activity of demonstrations and protests, and being able to disperse crowds with this portable robotic microwave device. So I think that although we're seeing it first here in this country being applied against prisoners and pretrial detainees, many of whom have never even been convicted of anything. But what it's destined to, based on the words coming out of the Department of Justice, the Bureau of Justice, is that its ultimate destination is not just for prisoners, it's for use in civilian crowd control.
So let's talk about what the plans are then in Castaic to try this particular device out for 6 months at Pitches Detention Center. Is it that they're going to ask inmates to volunteer themselves to test it out on them, or are they just going to have it on hand in case there is some kind of fight or some kind of violence breaks out?
Well, I doubt that they're going to be asking for volunteers among the inmates, but we don't know yet what the exact plans are. What it sounds like from everything that Sheriff Baca has said is that this thing is going to be available and they're going to use it when they want to use it.
And it's amazing how the announcement was just made. I mean, this just became public, and they're already going to put it into use, into this trial use at least, in just a few days before Labor Day.
Well, it seems like this must be coordinated with the U.S. government. This clearly isn't just a move by Sheriff Baca on his own. This is a big step that has implications nationally, and I think it was probably carefully coordinated how and where this device would be rolled out.
I'm speaking with Margaret Winter, Associate Director of the National ACLU Prison Project. She's joining us live from Washington, D.C. Now, the U.S. military rejected the use of this device in Afghanistan and Iraq. Why?
Not entirely clear, but there was a statement by the Secretary of the Air Force a couple of years ago that they were he was afraid of that he was going to be vilified in the international press if this thing was used extensively in foreign contexts without the United States having deployed it on its own citizens extensively. So it's interesting that he was bearing vilification in the international press, and so the next step is let's use it domestically and see what happens. Then there was the incident with the U.S. airmen getting seriously injured in the testing of it.
So bad PR, basically.
Yeah.
And now it's the fact that it's being used on inmates essentially speaks to how little attention is paid to the inside of California's jails. Would you agree?
I think that it's not just California's jails. Jails and prisons, this vast, vast network where 2.2 million men, women, and children in the United States are being detained in prisons, jails, and detention centers are pretty dark places. And, by their very nature, the prison and jail officials don't usually want transparency. Terrible things go on that people don't see, and it's the a responsibility of the ACLU and of all people who understand that the conditions of our prisons and how prisoners are treated is a human rights issue that should be of interest to everybody. It's up to all of us to try to pierce that darkness and open some windows and let some light come in and find out what's really going on. It affects all of us. And we really all could get burned by this pain ray machine.
No pun intended, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Peter Elias's comment about it being a toxic combination to put this so-called pain ray into a place where there is a long history of abuse, at least here in Southern California, inside the jail systems. The ACLU of Southern California has extensively documented the LA County Jail's history of violence and retaliation and abuse against inmates and overcrowding. What are the possible scary scenarios under which such a weapon could be deployed, and how concerned should we be?
We need to be very concerned, because in the intensive monitoring that the ACLU has been doing in LA County Jail, we've seen, a very, very disturbing pattern of deputy abuse of inmates, and particularly mentally ill inmates. And we've seen extreme incidents of retaliation, a real pattern against any prisoners who complain about conditions or deputy abuse. And this has been documented in an extensive report that the ACLU puts out annually. Most recently, I think it was in April of 2010, and we're about to shortly be releasing a supplement on new information of violence and abuse that's come out even in the last few months. So it's very scary. It is a very toxic combination to have this kind of lack of control over kind of a culture of a subculture of violence and abuse, and then putting weapons like this into the hands of a force of deputies that won't necessarily be able to deal properly with such a weapon.
Now, you talked earlier about the possibility of this weapon eventually being used against protesters and demonstrations and infringing people's First Amendment rights, and that the inmates here in California and other jails are essentially guinea pigs. Is there, for this pain ray, is there any evidence that you've seen that that confirms that this is the first step in deploying this against the, against the people here domestically in a crowd control situation on the streets?
Yeah, I think there's lots of evidence of that. The Department of Justice has been touting a civilian application of this weapon in its, you can look on U.S. government websites and find it as a method of domestic crowd control, both in the prison context and in the law enforcement context. So I don't think that it's really a secret. I think that there's very broad hints, to say the least, that that's where we are headed.
So what can people do?
I think people should be real alert to looking up and watching the news on this, and that they should be protesting it in every possible way. They should be writing letters to the editors. They should be blogging about it. They should be conscious about it. They should make sure others know about it. We shouldn't wait around and accept the militarization of our, you know, of our civil society. And take it for granted that more and more we're going to be treated as if there is a, you know, we're in a war scenario here at home.
Now, what about bringing it up to our members of Congress? And do you know if any member of Congress has tried to take any action on it, maybe to hold hearings on this? I mean, this could be something that, and ought to be something that Congress should take up.
I think it should be something that Congress takes up. And I think that we need a lot more investigation about the studies that have been done on this, the intended applications, the cost. There's some information out there, but it's obviously the cost of this is enormous.
It almost seems as though, you know, the U.S. military had paid Raytheon to develop this using taxpayers' dollars to develop this weapon. And since it couldn't be used in Iraq and Afghanistan because of the bad PR, they needed some use for the work that they put into this Pain Ray. And so now it's being used on our inmates and potentially in the future against demonstrators and Americans who are outside the jails as well. Margaret, where can listeners find out more through the ACLU? What's the best website?
I think if you go to www.aclu.org/prisonersrights, you will find the information.
Prisoners' rights?
Yeah.
ACLU.org/prisonersrights. Margaret Winter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Margaret Winter is the Associate Director of the National ACLU Prison Project, joining us from Washington, D.C. We've been talking about the new weapon that is being launched here in Southern in California, in Castaic, California, at Pitches Detention Center. Before Labor Day, it's going to start, Sheriff Lee Baca is going to start a six-month trial there. You can find out more at aclu.org/prisonersrights. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Isaac Asimov once said, "Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent." That's Isaac Asimov. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.